Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on holiday. This is podcast number 446, August 1st, 2010. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by Cameron Karting. Cameron Karting offers CRG carts, engines and parts for all carts, engine service and driver coaching and trackside support to Northern California carters. Check them out at CameronKarting.com. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, Schumacher and Rubinho get closer. Flexi wings will be scrutinized even further. And a bad day for Nico Rosberg and Robert Kubica. And of course, today we're going to add a special interview. Williams test driver, Valtteri Bottas of Finland. So there you have it, Steve. Welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Oh, it's wonderful. Hungarian Grand Prix, the
Hungaroring.
Nice weather, lots of Russians in the audience. You know, you get that Iron Curtain stuff going.
Russians, Poles, yeah. Finns.
It's a great, great track. I sort of like it. A lot of people don't. It's dirty sometimes, but I like it. It always puts on a pretty good show.
Yeah, there's always something interesting going on at the Hungaroring.
Of course, the front wing issue continues. McLaren sort of crying about it. Whitmarsh babbling about it to the press, how their car is the fixed wing car and everybody else is a flexi wing car.
In other words, our composite guys haven't figured out how to do it yet. It's basically what...
Pretty much.
I like what they were saying on the speed show. They were basically talking about... You know, McLaren's like in there going, okay, are you going to outlaw this or not? Because we don't really want to throw a bunch of
money.
Yeah, we don't want to figure this out and then find out that it's a waste of time.
Exactly. And once again, it passes the FIA scrutineering tests. So it's legal for now.
Yeah, basically, and the scrutineering is basically putting weights on the ends of the wings to see if they bend. And
exactly.
When they don't, they don't.
Exactly. They pass. Also, Team Mortar still in the limelight, of course, since the Fernando over Massa dealio.
Yes, and all the talk about, if Felipe gets ahead of Alonso again, will they tell him to let him by?
And it was a little out of control, and it was tough for Felipe. People in his home country, Brazil, were calling him a traitor for not disobeying the orders, basically.
Yeah, that's a little bit harsh to call him a traitor because he's doing his job.
They've done much worse for football.
So. Yeah, well, Formula One and football, a little bit different.
And Vitaly Petrov looking pretty good all weekend.
Yeah, definitely probably his best weekend of the season.
And, of course, it's Yamamoto in again and Shandok out. The almighty yen.
Almighty dollar.
Yeah. So
no other no Japanese teams for Sakon to go race with for. So
and of course, nothing is new. Red Bull all out dominating practice. They're fast, and then they're even faster.
And they're way faster because Ferrari's in the
and McLaren they started going into a deep depression.
Yeah, they were definitely depressed because the Ferraris are another 4/10 ahead of them. So yeah, definitely. Interesting, especially the way this weekend turns out. You start looking at this and going, we thought we saw Ferrari and McLaren kind of closing that gap to Red Bull, but Red Bull's obviously pulled something out of the hat because they've found more pace.
Yeah, they're absolutely unbeatable. Let's go right to qualifying, Q1. Of course, Red Bull pretty much right to the top. Force India, once again, having a bad weekend, struggling. They already had, once again, another tire issue, putting the wrong tires on the wrong car. I'm not sure. They're just sort of unraveling.
Yeah, and it really seems odd. That, to me, it's a management issue. You've got to get somebody in there. Somebody's got to step up and basically put their foot down, because these are just really dumb type mistakes.
And they come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's really, really strange. Of course, the Rubinho and the Williams looking pretty comfortable here in Hungary. It's very impressive. And with 10 minutes to go, it's, well, towards the end of the session. It's the Red Bulls. There's not much to talk about here, except for who's going to come behind the Red Bulls. And, of course, Renault is doing really well, and we expect them to do well in this kind of circuit.
Oh, yeah. And you're starting to get people going, wow, that Renault motor seems to be kind of fast.
Yeah, and they talk about drivability and the rev spectrum. But it's still not as fast as the Ferrari or the Mercedes in the straight line, period.
No, but it's definitely seems to have a better lower-end power curve, which is getting people in and out of the corners. And which, frankly, in Formula One, I think is actually almost more important than top-end speed.
Especially at these kinds of tracks. Yeah. So, out in the first session is Bruno Senna, Yamamoto, Luca Di Grassi, Yano Trulli, Timo Glock, Kobayashi having a bad day.
Yeah, the Sauber looks racy because his teammate De La Rosa is putting down some really good times.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's like they've swapped places and Pedro De La Rosa is doing a lot better.
Yeah, it's almost like they set up the car this week for Pedro and last week they set it up for Kobayashi. It's weird.
And of course, Heikki Kovalainen in the Lotus is out. Kobe was saying that he may have been blocked by the HRT, but he wasn't.
Obviously not sufficiently to create any issues.
Correct. And of course, when Kobe was coming back to the pits, I guess he was just sleeping or something because the red light was on and he was supposed to go to scrutineering.
Yeah.
And he just went right straight. And he just...
Maybe it was the deep depression of not making it out of the session that he set him off.
Exactly.
But it hurts because it's five places. But
yeah. And he's already way back there. So.
It's basically, dude, you're down the last row.
Yeah. So very strange. We do have an all-Japanese last row, which is exciting.
Yeah. Ooh. Been looking for that all season.
Let's go to Q2. Felipe out first. Obviously, he's got to get his people back on his side. He's got to get his motivation back on his side.
Got to get his mojo going because,
of course, and he's back at Hungaroring where the big accident happened, doing a lot of interviews. He's not hiding in any way, shape, or form.
No, and making the rounds, basically going around and thanking the individuals who were basically immeasurably important to him last time he was here, you know, talking to the extraction team and the people at the medical center and all those good people saying,
exactly,
thank you for getting me out of here in time so that I can come back here this year.
Yeah, so after such a big accident, pretty impressive to be back in a year.
Oh, phenomenally. The fact that he's actually had the opportunity to win last week at a race exactly 1 year ago from the date that he got struck was pretty amazing.
Yeah, and he's on pace. I mean, I know Cristiano D'Amata's accident was much worse, but still, he's still out of racing to this day. So it's not an easy climb. But anyway, 8 minutes to go, and it's, I know you're going to be shocked, but it's Red Bull right to the top, Stephen.
What?
Yeah.
Again?
I don't know what's going on. And of course, Fernando Alonso third, Robert Kubica, and Vitaly Petrov. Really, maybe it's those Russian people that are there. You know, maybe he had some Russian dinner, but he is really feeling good.
Just getting enough boost from the fans there for him to kind of give him just a little bit of a push.
Yep, and if he continues this, he'll be re-signed in a month or so. Of course, Nico Rosberg outpacing Michael Schumacher.
Again.
Schumacher not comfortable in the car here. And you know what? We're going to hear this till the end of the year. They're developing the car for 2011 right now. This car will just languish. Even though Nico had a podium recently, it doesn't mean it.
No. At this point in time, it's kind of a three-horse race. It's pretty much the Red Bulls, the Ferraris, and the McLarens looking for the championship. And everybody else, I think, at this point is more or less, if they haven't started yet, we'll be starting, you know, at the end of the summer break to start developing their new car, their
exactly.
next car.
And I was surprised Sebastian Vettel had banged out a killer lap, was on top. But then, and I didn't think he had to go back out, but he did. I'm going, well, okay.
Maybe just wanted to...
I think they're trying out maybe different setups.
Well, you can't do that in quali because you're in Parc Fermé, but...
It's called the sneaky, dude.
Actually, did he go out on the same tires?
And people are having problems with tires, using up all their softs before the race.
Yeah, which was kind of odd because it blows my mind sometimes how one team can just wipe out a pair of tires and like nothing flat, and another team can make them seem to last for half a race.
Yeah, it's bizarre but impressive as well. And Bridgestone, I think, is doing a really good job this year.
Yeah, swan song, yeah.
Perhaps. 1 minute to go, Mark Webber goes right to the top. Because he wants to be number one, Sebastian Vettel wants to be number one, but of course there are no number ones or twos.
Well, kind of what it is for Red Bull is he who has the most points is number one.
Exactly. Thank you, Stephen. And of course, McLaren having some struggling issues, and Jenson Button could not put it together.
Really can't put it together because we're at the end of the session, and who's in 11th place? Jenson Button.
Exactly. And he's with the Q2 guys. Jaime Alguersuari, Sebastian Buemi, Vitantonio Liuzzi. Of course, Michael Schumacher and Rubens Barrichello.
Adrian Sutil also. Schumacher really does not like this car. The extended wheelbase really only bought him one race. And he's really kind of not had much after that. It just seems odd that... he did come to the team just a tiny bit late, I guess, to really dial that car in for him. I'm pretty sure he'll be back next season, but I think if he has another season like this, he's probably going to walk on his third year.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see what happens. I think Mercedes will put it together. Trust me. They listen. They talk. They're Germans. They'll get together. It's a good company. Also, Nico Hülkenberg out qualifying his teammate, Rubinho, and makes it into... Q3.
Yeah, good for him. Pedro Del Osso into Q3 for the first time all season. But yep. And then, Vitaly is in
P4. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he likes this track, though.
Yeah, obviously.
He's raced here a lot in other formulas, and he's very comfortable.
Yeah,
here.
And it's showing up in a
And the Renault does well here.
Yeah, well, again, this is, as they call it, the Monaco without buildings track.
Exactly.
Lots of turns, not really any high speed sections.
Right.
When the speed trap only gets you up to 186, it's probably not a really fast track.
Yeah. But what's interesting is everybody knows who's going to be on the front row.
Well, after practice, yeah, pretty much.
And really, the final Q3 qualifying is really to determine who's behind the front row.
Yeah, it's kind of like... who's going to be in the second? Actually, frankly, the way it's been going, we pretty much know who the first two rows are going to be.
It's been pretty consistent.
And who's going to fill in behind that?
Yes, because, pretty consistent.
Yeah, this weekend has been that way. And it's kind of, now it's, which of the Red Bulls is going to get pole? Who's going to throw down that faster lap?
And whoever gets pole will not win the race, especially if it's a German guy.
Yeah, well, especially seems to be the curse for the Red Bulls. It's like, if you've got pole, you don't want pole.
So we'll see what happens. Let's go right to Q3. 6 minutes to go. Fernando Alonso does go out first, and he goes to the top. It's Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, and Nico Hülkenberg showing some pace. And Felipe Massa in second, right behind Fernando, 1-2.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes to go, Mark Webber, faster than Fernando Alonso by 0.8 of a second. Unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. It's like...
Everybody's jaw just drops.
Yeah. It's like, how are they doing this? Because, even if they've got a flexing wing, come on. 0.8?
Not only that, but after that, Sebastian Vettel goes even faster.
Yeah. Well,
second.
It's ridiculous how fast he came, that close to setting the track record. It's like the second fastest lap in track history that he sets.
I agree. Pretty bizarre stuff. 3 minutes to go. They all go back into the pits for a tire change. Renault a bit late to go out and may have used up all their soft tires. 1 minute, 15 seconds to go. Sebastian Vettel is still in the garage waiting. Fernando Alonso just makes it over the line for one more lap. I mean, I think it was at zero.
Yeah, it's like... 0-0-0-1 when he goes across the line.
I mean, of course, Felipe Massa did not make it over the line to get another lap. But of course, to the top was Sebastian Vettel. Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso over Felipe Massa, as it should be, Steven. And Lewis Hamilton makes it to fifth place. Nico Rosberg and Vitaly Petrov in P6, out-qualifying Robert Kubica for the first time in his entire career.
Yeah, first time all season. He was the last of the teammates to not out-qualify correct. His teammate. And he's finally kind of broken through that glass ceiling. So maybe this is maybe the boost that he needs for his ego and his confidence that, you know, hey, you know, Robert's fast, but I can be that fast too.
I agree. No, very good for his confidence and his career.
Yeah, it's definitely a benefit for him to do that here. Definitely going to give him a little bit more leeway going for the rest of the season.
Robert Kubica right behind Mr. Petrov, Pedro de la Rosa, and Nico Hülkenberg round off the top 10 for the race. So very exciting stuff. Of course, we knew Red Bull is unbeatable, uncatchable, and I just don't see what the other teams are going to do.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for anybody to even put a run at him. If they can get out ahead of the other cars, you know, frankly, it's going to come down to the start. The Ferraris are going to have to catch them in that first straight. Otherwise, they're going to be watching them run away.
Especially at this track. If you're going to pass anybody, you better do it in the first corner or it's over with.
Yeah, because unless you can stay really close and maybe out-pit them.
But you can't stay close to the Red Bulls.
No. Well, exactly. For others, maybe, but yeah, nobody's going to be able to keep up with them if they can get ahead.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break for the interview. NAS, introduce this test driver for Williams, Mr. Bottas.
Valtteri Bottas, this is a quick conversation recorded at Hockenheim. As he was trying to get into the paddock here, Formula One paddock, I intercepted him and he was kind enough to give me a few minutes. Very talented young driver from Finland, and he was a Formula Renault Euro Cup winner, and now he is the test driver for Williams, and hopefully we'll see him in Formula One. Very nice kid, and at Hockenheim last year I met his dad also. So I wish him all the best, and many thanks to him for his time. Okay, folks, I'm here with a young, exciting talent from Finlandia, Mr. Valtteri Bottas. Valtteri, welcome back to F1 Weekly. How are you?
Fine, thanks, really. It has been really tight season, and now I'm here with the Williams, watching the race and trying to learn everything, how the team works, and yeah, I'm really fine, thanks.
Now, you recently became the first man to win the F3 Masters, second years in a row, for two times, and also you got your first win. How much pressure is off your shoulders now?
Yeah, for sure, everyone has been waiting for me to win races, and now the last 2 weekends has been really good, so for sure I feel better to continue the season now as I got some wins, so yeah.
You've done some testing in an F1 car. Is that really being in heaven?
Yeah, it has been amazing. I've done only so far some straight line tests, but I'm really now looking forward for the proper test days on the real circuit, and yeah, it has been really, really, really nice.
And before you, Nico Hülkenberg was a test driver there, and he was also working in the factory. Are you also doing that? And if you're doing, what are you doing there?
Yeah, I live in Oxford, so it gives me opportunity to go every day when I'm not racing F3 to the factory. And yeah, basically I'm learning there everything, how the team builds the car, how they make the parts, how they develop it in the wind tunnel, and yeah, I managed to make some carbon parts for the car already, so it's quite cool.
Are you planning to bribe Rubens Barrichello so he can retire and you can step into F1 next season?
No, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's really experienced driver, and I think it's really good for Williams now because they are now improving all the time, and big thanks to Rubens for that. And yeah, for sure he's not driving forever, and maybe my chance will be at some year.
And once you get into F1, will you stay there or will you go rallying also?
We will see. I don't want to decide that yet. First I want to win the championship in F1.
You went to Cyprus recently. What did you do there?
It was a training camp at Cyprus in Limassol for 1 week.
And finally, have you gone out for fish and chips with Patrick Head?
No, excellent. No, I didn't get fish and chips with Patrick Head yet.
Thank you very much. All the best.
Okay, thank you.
Say hi to your dad for me.
Okay, I will.
Okay, thank you.
Bill Terry Botas, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. Okay, we're back. That was interesting.
Thank you, Vitaly.
Exactly.
Bill Terry Botas.
Thank you, Stephen. Okay, let's go right to the Grand Prix. Good, warm weather. It's probably going to be a hot race for the drivers.
Actually, been a beautiful day, considering what we were talking about. They were talking bad weather for the race. It's gorgeous. It's about 80 degrees. Just a beautiful day to be at the race.
I agree. Lewis Hamilton on the formation lap reports of a strange vibration in the front brakes.
Yeah, and Michael Schumacher's reporting that his brakes are a little spongy.
Yeah, he's got spongy. And then the team tells Mark Webber that there's a little teeny oil stain on the tarmac right ahead of you. And I'm thinking, I mean, they show a picture of this oil stain, and I'm just going, please.
Don't drive through it. We don't want the tires to get dirty.
It was so small, I was stunned, but I guess every little detail, Stephen, is unbelievably precious.
Well, in Formula One, it's those little things that add up.
I agree. And of course, Kobayashi, 5-grid penalty, goes to 23rd. Very interesting stuff. The flexi wing continues. There will be no team orders in this race, Steve. It's going to be straight up and up.
No, we want team orders.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, frankly, my personal opinion about team orders is it's like, hey, you know, I don't really care about them so much. But when they take away the opportunity for racing, that's when it really pisses me off.
Exactly. So there you go. And in Warwick, who is the steward this weekend, had a great story about when he was driving for Brabham, Bernie Eccleston's team, and when he had to fork over his entire car to somebody else because their car burnt up.
Yeah.
Talk about team orders.
Yeah. Couldn't really do that these days with the fitted cockpits. It's a little tough to throw somebody else in your seat. But
yeah, so they're going to be around, and they're going to be around. Anyway, let's go right to the race. The red lights go out.
And we're off and running.
Great start, finally, for Sebastian Vettel. No freaking out, going to the side, blocking people, trying to hold position.
Basically, he just...
He went straight.
Exactly. He drag raced to the first corner, and it paid dividends. It actually helped his rival directly behind him because he was able to draft him down the straight, putting Mark Webber into the third position.
Exactly.
But actually, a good job by Mark Webber to get that slot.
To keep the slot.
Because how... He did not have a really good start being on the dirty line. He was really fighting to keep up and make sure that he got down the straight ahead of Felipe and does a very good job of making sure that he stays there.
Exactly. So Fernando Alonso splits the Red Bulls. Jenson Button goes down to P15. Kobayashi is up to 16th place. Rubinho goes up to 9th, passes Nico. And Lewis Hamilton is passed by Vitaly Petrov. But then Lewis Hamilton, after a few corners, takes back the position. Very exciting race, but for such a tight circuit, tight first corner, no wrecks.
Amazingly good.
Very, very impressive.
Yeah, I think we only had one car come back in for, and actually that happened a couple laps later where someone actually came in for a nose.
Exactly. So very impressive stuff on lap two. Jaime Alguersuari has the infamous Ferrari Kablamo.
And a good one.
It was a
good
one.
We haven't seen a good smoky Kablamo in quite some time.
It was a gusher and a smoker.
Yeah, and everybody's like, get off the line! Get off the line!
Yeah, so he's dropping fluid everywhere. And, I think they should get these cars off track as soon as possible.
Yeah, as soon as you see smoke in your mirror, just pull over near a cutout in the fence so that you can get the car off the track.
So, Sebastian Vettel in the lead, Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Felipe Massa, and Lewis Hamilton. Fast lap of the race on lap 3. Sebastian Vettel, 1:28.883. And he repeats that in lap 4, 1:28.744. And he's pounding out almost a second a lap. Not quite, but practically on the Ferrari.
Yeah, he's
mind-blowing.
Running away, you're like going, man, you know, at this pace, he could probably lap that Ferrari before the end of the race.
It was pretty scary. I was very, very impressed.
And then Mark Webber's just all over the back of Alonso's car because Webber doesn't have quite enough pace to find a spot to get him. But he's basically, hey, Fernando, don't forget me. I'm back here.
Lap 5, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel. Lap 6, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel. and Nico Rosberg, who's hanging on back there, has got the long train behind him.
Yeah, it's one of those, hey, it's the return of the Trulli train, but it's Nico Rosberg
and of course,
playing engine.
Of course, overtaking is nearly impossible, as Sebastian Vettel was going into the sunset. I was thinking, boy, I hope this isn't a boring race. It could happen, Steve.
Yeah, well, race officials do a little bit to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Well, I think they've been watching NASCAR, and they're coming up with some really good ideas. Lap 8, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel with a 1.26.246. Lap 9, Mark Webber will have to pass Fernando Alonso in the pits. There is no way to get around him.
Yeah,
The Ferrari is fast on the straights.
He's got enough pace that he can't. He basically, really, the one place to pass in this track is the first turn. And the Red Bull doesn't have enough top end. He's right on his tail going into that front straight, but Fernando can keep the gap so that Webber can't get in there and basically, you know, beat him through the turn.
Exactly. Lap 14, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 1.26.211. And Felipe Massa gets on the horn and asks the team for some kind of strategy. Help me here. What am I going to do? And of course, right after that happened, it's Vittorio Liuzzi and Jenson Button in the pits. Lap 15, Sebastian Vettel pits, and you know why? Safety car.
Safety car.
Phantom safety car.
Well, apparently somebody lost half of their, or actually I think they said it was an end plate of a front wing on the track. Apparently it was in a spot where the stewards couldn't just dart out and get it with a local yellow. So let's put out a safety car.
I thought this safety car was ludicrous.
It was pretty much a competition. It was a competition safety
this
car.
This was a damn phantom safety car, competition yellow. This was stinko.
Yeah, let's pull the field back a little. Let's tighten up the field because the Red Bulls are making this a farce.
I was stunned, and I think they're being a little too liberal with the safety car.
Well, in this particular instance, I would agree with you.
I mean, it's out of control. I mean, there's got to be some danger out there.
Yeah, the one piece of debris on the track, and it wasn't online. It was a little bit over the top. Somebody was a little quick to the safety car button.
Well, not only the problem, but they're trying to push safety. Okay, we've got a little bit of debris caution. They put out the safety car, but the problem is, as soon as that safety car comes out, you have such a tremendous surge of cars going into a pretty small pit lane.
Yeah, well, not only that, the timing of this safety car was basically right in the beginning of the window for everybody who was looking to change off of the soft tires. And it's a bloody zoo.
It's everybody pits. Sebastian Vettel just makes the pit lane. He has to cut across,
he cuts across
a little
curves.
Bit of grass, a little bit of bump, but makes the pit stop, and everybody else is pitting as well.
Ferrari so, stacks their pit.
Yep.
Did a really good job, by the way.
Everybody's getting
Alonso's tires on, getting him out. And then all hell kind of breaks loose.
Well, Mark Webber doesn't pit. Interesting strategy there. Rubinho doesn't pit. And Jarno Trulli doesn't pit. It's easier to say who didn't pit.
Yeah, pretty
because
much.
Because everybody else pitted on that lap or the following lap. And of course, like you said, there's so much chaos in the pit. And everybody's trying to get their car back into position. And of course, Renault released Robert Kubica right as Adrian Sutil was pulling into his box for a pit stop. Crasho,
Bango. Even better, at that exact same moment.
That was beautiful.
They released Nico Rosberg without the tire, without his
rear right
tire affixed, and it starts bounding through the pit lane.
It was beautiful. Follow the bouncing ball.
Scary moment.
Very scary, though. It went right through the Williams pit. And well, they, actually, one of their guys stopped it.
It actually went right through one of the, I think it was the Sauber, the pit in front of Williams' pit, and they had one shot where you saw the mechanic jumping out of the way as it went right through their pit box, and then one of the Williams mechanics actually caught it. Probably not the smartest thing he's ever done, but you know, taking one for the team, you know, it's kind of like throwing himself on the grenade. He ended up going to the medical center with some rib pain. You know, taking a 40-pound tire going, 10 or 15 kilometers in the chest probably hurts.
And Nico Rosberg, hoping for a strike, but only got a spare.
Exactly. He's basically stopped dead at the end of the pit lane. They push him back. He's done.
Well, three wheels is just tough for
him. Yeah, it really doesn't work well.
Low grip.
Yeah.
And, of course, Robert Kubica is not too heavily damaged, and he's able to go back out.
They get him put back there. They get him back out on track. But about three laps later, they're assessed with a stop-and-go, and apparently there was a little more damage than they thought. Because he comes back in for the stop and go. They're, taking a good look at the car while he's there for his stop and go. And then he's back in after another lap.
He's down a lap. He has to do a stop and go. What do you think? Why wear out a motor and a gearbox for nothing?
Yeah.
That's what happened, Steven. Trust me. And, of course, Lewis Hamilton, once again, the new Teflon kid on the block, gets out ahead of Felipe Massa. Very impressive.
Yeah. McLaren at times.
And some good luck.
Yeah. Timing. It's all in the timing.
And once again, I question this safety car. I think it was completely unnecessary, but it certainly spiced up what could have been a processional and boring race.
Completely boring. And the other thing that I'm looking at, I'm watching Weber, the fact that he doesn't go in and he's still in the softs. I'm going, ooh, was that really a smart move? Because, he's five? Maybe he can get another 10 laps out of these tires?
Well, when you saw what was going on in the pits and some of the chaos, I thought it was worth the gamble.
Yeah, definitely. If he can make them last, this could turn out to be something pretty good. But is he going to be able to gap the field enough to make it pay off?
Exactly.
Because it doesn't really buy him a lot if he has to pit and he's back out in fourth or fifth.
Exactly. So So he only has to do one thing. He's got a car that's the fastest, probably a second a lap. Gee whiz, Steve, what is he going to have to do?
Make his tires last.
And bang out some killer laps. Lap 17, it's Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa, Rubinho, Vitaly Petrov, Nico Hülkenberg, Pedro De La Rosa, and Jenson Button in the final and last points paying position. Lap 19, Mark Webber with a fast lap, 125.648.
By the way, safety car's in.
Yeah, the safety car did come in. Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of 17.
It only lasted like a lap and a half.
I think it was a total of three laps. It came out like at the beginning of 15 and went in at the end of 17, so two and a half.
Keep up the good work, Steven. Lap 20, fast lap of the race. Imagine this, Mark Webber with a 125.147. Five-tenths off that last lap. Yarno truly pits. He has no reason to stay out there too long. He has no chance. But all the new teams are still on the track, Stephen. Only Jaime Alguersuari has had a kablamo.
Yep.
Lap 22, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber with a 124.788. And, of course, on lap 23, they announced the Robert Kubica penalty for crashing into Adrian Sutil. And, of course, they do get a fine. Renault has a team, gets a fine after the race. And on lap 24, Lewis Hamilton slows and comes to a stop on track. Felipe Massa says, yes, the voodoo doll worked.
Yeah.
Thank you. You can take the needle out.
Yeah.
McLaren DNF in a long, long time.
Yeah, at least one that's going to cost them
some major points.
Yeah, huge.
Especially when Jenson Button's in 10th place.
Yeah.
So, bummer for Lewis Hamilton, but he can afford it at this stage of the championship.
Yeah, this isn't something you want the second to last race of the year, but it's going to cost him the lead.
And once again, even though Lewis Hamilton, who's had a lot of good luck, gearbox fails him, it's over for him. On lap 25, Sebastian Vettel is under investigation by the race stewards.
For dropping more than 10 car lengths behind
the leader.
Well, behind the car in front of him, basically, which was the leader.
Correct, Steve.
Which is actually, you know, frankly, you know, Mark Webber's going to maybe owe Sebastian a couple beers for this, because that helped him stretch out that lead he needs to get.
Perhaps, but also I think the team is at fault for not being able to communicate, to tell.
Well, to make sure that he understood that he needs.
That he's awake and that he understands you can get a penalty.
Gap him, but don't get too big.
The team is. They need to do that. You know, Vettel is out there driving, dealing with the safety car. It's hard for him to figure out 10 places or 700 meters or whatever it is. And it wasn't 700 meters, but something like that. So, big bummer. He's being investigated. And, of course, Vettel doesn't know it yet. They haven't told him.
No, but they told him that he was being investigated. And he was like, huh? What?
Well, trust me. He's pretty sensitive these days. Lap 26, Fernando Alonso. I'm thinking, okay, Mark Webber still has to pit for tires. Sebastian Vettel is going to get a penalty of some sort. When you're investigated, something usually happens. And I'm going, Fernando Alonso could win this race.
Yeah.
Holy Maloney.
And the Ferrari guys are all a little bit jazzed because they're like, ooh.
Two in a row would be out of control.
Yeah, especially considering their position in the championship. It would just be a huge windfall for them to be able to pull this out, especially considering the fact that the Red Bulls were just racing them into the ground.
Exactly. So the team gets on the horn and tells Fernando Alonso to go quick, but be wise. You know, grasshopper.
In other words, dude, go fast, but take care of your tires.
It was pretty interesting.
But nobody ever came across the wire. Well, I guess the McLarens were out of the race, so no one came across going, conserve fuel.
No. That's because they didn't need to. Both McLarens, who usually start the race fairly light, did not need to.
No.
And I was concerned about I was concerned about Mark Webber when he was banging in these fast laps so he could get enough time to do that pit stop and keep the lead. I was thinking, is he going to have a fuel issue?
Yeah.
Because he's putting in a lot of high RPMs, no fuel savings here.
No, he's going max out. And I think the RBR is less concerned about running light because they know that they're fast. They can basically load up the car. You know, they can put another 10 gallon, you know, another two laps worth of fuel in the car versus anybody else, because those, you know, 10 pounds aren't going to make the kind of difference it does for somebody else.
Sebastian does get the drive-through penalty on lap 28. And once again, Red Bull is bitten by the safety car. The team starts telling Felipe Massa about Sebastian Vettel's penalty. And of course, then they announce Nico Rosberg is under investigation. But he's still stuck in the pits. It's over for him.
Yeah, it's meaningless. If anything, that's a fine to the team, because that, you know, that's not Nico's fault that, you know, he got released with missing a wheel nut.
Sebastian Vettel begins to ask the team. He gets on the radio, why am I getting a penalty? He's confused. He's bewildered. He's getting a little dizzy.
Yeah, I think they basically came back and go, don't worry, stay focused.
Yes, just exactly.
We'll tell you about it later.
Exactly. But on lap 30, Sebastian Vettel does take his drive-through, and boy, he's just fuming. There's steam coming out of the car.
He's waving his arms.
I mean, he lets go of the steering wheel. He's freaking out. I mean, he's holding a protest sign. I mean, it's completely out of control. And he comes out in P3, which is not that bad.
No, considering the fact that he's basically going to lose one spot. Felipe wasn't able to get close enough to basically take advantage of the drive-through. And frankly, that's actually, for me, I think that's kind of a fair penalty, because really, if you're going to penalize him for it, you should basically give up the place to the guy behind him, because he's the one that he held up.
Exactly. Keep up the good work, Steven. Lap 32, fast lap of the race with a Mark Webber, 124.315. And Mark Webber to Fernando Alonso is 14. 16 seconds. Lap 33, Fernando Alonso to Sebastian Vettel is 3.7 seconds. And the fast lap of the race is Mark Webber with a 1:24.091. Once again.
They're saying Mark Webber needs to get to at least 21 seconds.
Well, he's adding almost a second per lap.
Yeah, so he needs to get to about 21 seconds plus to kind of ensure, you know, with a good pit stop that he can get in and out ahead of Fernando.
Yep, lap 35, fast lap of the race, 1:23.847. Mark Webber to Fernando Alonso, 17.6. Lap 36, Mark Webber to Fernando Alonso, 18.6. 1 second. Lap 37, Sebastian Vettel is now closing in on Fernando Alonso, and he might be able to make this a 1-2 and salvage something.
And he spends pretty much the rest of the race pretty much following Fernando's gearbox.
He just can't find a spot
where he can get enough to get past him.
He cannot get past him. The Ferrari is faster in the straights, period.
Yeah, and there's not enough... The passing in the corners on this track, he's not going to get enough oomph to get into a spot where he can get past Fernando without getting blocked.
Lap 38, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber, 1:23.781. Mark Webber to Fernando Alonso, 20.6 seconds. Fernando Alonso to Sebastian Vettel, 1.7 seconds. Mark Webber on lap 39 to Fernando, 21.7 seconds. And on lap 40, Mark Webber to Fernando Alonso, 22.8 seconds, which means he can do it and go all the way. It's exciting. Lap 41, Rubens Barrichello still has not pitted.
Yep.
It's impressive. So we got Rubinho and Mark Webber. Lap 43, Mark Webber pits. Perfect pit stop. It could have been a tragedy. You know, they would have been nervous. They know this is it. The big one.
Well, they nailed it. It was one of the best pit stops of the day. Red Bull's pit crews have been pretty solid all season.
There was hugging and loving after the pit stop.
Yeah, it's too bad it's not going to work out quite so well for Rubens, because Rubens is too far back and got way too much traffic around him to make it pay off for him.
Well, that's okay. Lap 44, team is telling Felipe Massa who, where, and the what. Because, I don't know, Felipe's losing it.
Well, I think Felipe's kind of on the track all by himself, because
Vettel's over eight seconds
ahead of him, and Vitaly's like a day and a half behind him.
It's pretty funny stuff. Lap 45, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 1:23.118. Lap 46, 1:22.651. And the team is telling Sebastian Vettel he's quicker than Fernando. Get on with it. You must pass el machismo. Vitantonio Liuzzi trying to get by Sebastian Buemi for P12. A little excitement there in the back.
Yep. Doesn't pay off.
No, he goes wide a couple times. It just doesn't work. And of course, on lap 48, Michael Schumacher will be investigated after the race, but I don't know why. It's bizarre.
Maybe he, you know, tampered with Nico Rosberg's wheel nut.
I don't know, but that was a strange announcement, and I still can't figure it out. And this announcement was done earlier in the race, not on this lap. But I made a note of it because I was thinking about it. I'm going, okay, something's going on there. And Michael Schumacher knew about it. Lap 49, Kobe is in P10. Kobayashi started 23rd. He's now in P10. That's pretty good. And Vitaly Petrov, P6. Even with all the chaos, is doing a great job for Renault.
Yeah, he's having a very good race, especially considering his teammate's out. The team needs him to pick up points.
Very important. It's brutal, because they're trying to leapfrog Mercedes Grand Prix in the constructors.
Exactly.
So, very important. Lap 51, it's Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Vettel, Felipe Massa, Rubinho, Vitaly Petrov, Nico Hülkenberg, Jenson Button, and Kamui Kobayashi in the final points-paying position. Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel are going to be hitting traffic pretty soon. You see some traffic, it's the Lotuses. And I'm thinking this is Vettel's big chance to get around Fernando.
Yeah, I think if he's going to have any opportunity, it's going to be a traffic incident that's going to basically give him the opportunity. But
Sebastian loses it, goes wide. And loses the opportunity.
But also the traffic is being very...
gracious.
Very polite.
Very.
Getting the heck out of the way
exactly.
Very quickly.
And they know their place.
Exactly. Not creating any potential issues for slowing the faster cars.
Exactly. Anyway, Williams is hoping that they'll be able to pit Rubinho and get him back out in P10. That is the plan. Lap 56, Rubinho pits. It's a good pit stop, but he comes out in P11.
Yeah, but he is on fresh tires.
And he's right behind his best friend, Michael Schumacher.
And he's right behind his favorite other driver.
His dude.
Yes.
It's very exciting. Lap 59, Mark Webber about to lap Michael Schumacher. And as he laps Michael Schumacher, he gets on the radio and says, "How sweet it is." Just like Jackie Gleason. And that was because he was lapping Michael Schumacher. And of course, Schumacher has lapped Mark Webber
for most of his career. Yeah.
So, good for Mark Webber. Lap 60, Rubinho is all over the back of Michael Schumacher. I mean, the Williams has got fresh tire. Rubinho has such a great relationship with Michael Schumacher. He knows that Schumacher will be respectful
and fair play. As soon as Michael realizes he's there, he knows he's just going to pull over and let him by.
Exactly. That was my point. Exactly. So, very interesting. Lap 61, Rubens Barrichello is really getting in that slipstream, and he tries a couple of times and just doesn't get it. But there, finally, on lap 65, he's right behind Michael Schumacher, going down the straight. Rubens Barrichello goes to the right. Michael Schumacher is looking in his mirrors, and he sees Rubinho, and he starts drifting to the right into Rubinho, pushing Rubinho almost into a cement wall. He says, "Hi, Rubinho.
Hey, how you doing? Whoops, there's a wall over there.
I'm still numero uno, Rubinho." So it was brutal, and that was even after the Red Bull Flexi Wings, the Team Orders Gate. This was the most talked about move of the entire race.
Yep, and of course, what do you know? It's going to be investigated by the stewards.
Exactly. Yeah, investigated. So
now, that's two black marks for Michael in this race.
Yeah, and Rubens Barrichello got on the radio after that moment and said, "He should be black flagged! He should be black flagged! This is terrible!" So, something like that. Yes. And so Rubinho was pretty pumped up. Schumacher was, in his usual...
blasé.
Blasé, laissez-faire attitude.
Hey, we were racing.
Yep. So, there you have it. Mark Webber wins the Grand Prix of Budapest. And it was very exciting for him. I'm really happy. I thought the safety car was ridiculous. I think Sebastian Vettel needs to calm down a little bit. I'm happy for Fernando Alonso to be on the podium. I'm really bummed about Robert Kubica not me being able to compete in this race after a crazy bunched up pit stop and pit lane.
Oh, yeah. That was... And, you know, I'm just thinking, basically watching the replays, that the his head mechanic forgot that Sutil was going into that next pit box, because there's no other reason for him to release Robert at that moment, unless, you know, he sees the wheel coming, he's like, "Ah!" He actually pulled it up because he was going to run away, sad to see him out because of that. You know, it always hurts to see a driver lose a play, you know, get knocked out of a race because of a mistake by his crew.
Especially when Renault needs the points. So Robert will have to make it up at Spa, where the F-duct will be important, and Renault will be implementing the F-duct.
Should be interesting to see, because, you know, everybody's going to have their F-duct going, and it's going to be interesting to see who's got the best top end when we get to Spa.
Of course, when Sebastian Vettel was pulling in for his third spot on the podium, he was still in the car, and the team got on the horn and said, "Don't say anything. Stay calm. There's nothing you can do. Be cool, my friend." Because he gets a little excited. And people think Fernando gets excited, but, you know, these type A personalities, these competitors...
Yeah.
We saw what happened to Mark Webber freaking out on the wing. Fernando FIA a few races ago. I love it.
Well, not only that, but these guys have been basically riding an adrenaline high for the last 2 hours.
I agree. It's like, exactly. Yeah. So you need to help them out a little bit. And the team did the right thing saying that. Don't let them go half-cocked freaking out. You've got to keep these guys calm, cool, and collected.
Wait until you get back to the pits. We'll talk about it.
Exactly. So, obviously... no big smiles from Sebastian Vettel, But nevertheless, I don't even think he sprayed any champagne. He just started chugging it. Which is a good thing to do.
Yeah, well, especially considering...
Alcohol fixes everything, Steve. Trust me. Also, after this, there's more whining from the teams that aren't as fast as Red Bull and Ferrari about the front wing flexing. And, you know, the FIA, they can see that all of a sudden Ferrari and Red Bull are pulling out some ridiculous times.
Yeah, but how can you contribute that much pace to the fact that they're getting a little bit better aerodynamics on that front wing?
Yes. Yes, Steve. Exactly. And, of course, the FIA trying to bring an end to the Formula One's flexible front wing row has told the teams that it will ramp up the deflection tests for the next race at Spa-Francorchamps. The FIA has told the teams now that it reserves the right to increase the tests up to 100 kilograms, and it will only allow a linear increase of deflection up to 20 millimeters. Which is 2 centimeters. That's not bad. That's a niche. That's a lot.
Well, especially when the wing is supposed to be basically 3 inches off the ground.
Yes.
So
I still think that everything's going to pass, especially since, well, everybody's on vacation and you're not allowed to work on the vintages, on the cars.
Yeah. Well, I'm betting that both of those other, you know, for all we know, both of those teams' flexi wings are already good to that weight.
Yes, I'm sure they've tested them themselves to pass an extreme.
Yeah, there's got to be, you know, you've got to build in a decent margin in there because, you know, temperature, especially something like that, temperature's probably going to be an issue too. You know, you get that wing nice and toasty, it's going to be a little bit softer.
Well, there's another issue with the Red Bull, and some people are accusing the Red Bull's floor of flexing. The old flexible floor, Steve. Well, Inspector Gadget used one, Shane.
Well, frankly, if they can do it with the wing,
they can
basically playing around with the way the composites are layered, why not do it for the floor?
Well,
do it for the rear wing, too, for that matter.
Well, the FIA is announcing that it will clamp down on teams using, and they say, quote, clever fixings and joints onto the underfloor of the car, amid suspicions that this is one area that teams could also be exploiting the regulations. Of course, Ross Braun, he wanted clarification from the flexible wings. Yeah. And everybody's, you know...
Before we spend umpteen million dollars to do this,
so
we
want
to make
for
sure that we're kosher.
But up to Hungary, everybody is legal. Of course, Rubens Barrichello was interviewed after the race. And they asked Rubinho if he will go talk to Schumacher and see what his friend was thinking, you know. What was he, you know, trying to do to poor Rubinho?
Probably just wing a tomato at him.
Well, Rubinho said, no, I won't, because it won't resolve anything. You know Michael, you talk to him, and he'll always feel that he is right. I just think I am just a guy, and justice was made today in a way because I think he has been stopped 3 years, and he didn't change a thing. He is still the same guy. If we touch there, then to be honest with you, I think we would flick over and go into the wall head on, so it was more of a danger for him. I couldn't move any more to the right because the wall was there, and if you take a photograph of the wall and us, there is not enough room for it. A hair in there. It is unbelievable. So, Rubinho, not too happy.
Hey, you can blame him. You know, that was a bit over the top as far as trying to squeeze him down. You know, come on, Michael. You know, he's going to get you. You don't have to try to run him into the wall.
Exactly. Sebastian Vettel with a few statements. My favorite is, I didn't understand what was going on and why I was penalized. It was a question mark for me. I didn't understand. Until someone told me after the race. So there you have it. Everybody's whimpering, crying. But all in all, a pretty good race, even though I still have really serious issues with the liberal use of the safety car. Yeah. It's out of control. It's supposed to be a safety car, not debris car or competition caution. I mean, we didn't even have a tire fire. And I mean, come on. You should see something. I don't know. I think this will be talked about a little bit. I'm not sure.
Probably come up this week in the press.
And I do have some good news out of the GP3 series. Alexander Rossi, obviously F1 Weekly listener, and somebody we've been following his entire career, has taken his second GP3 win of the season with a lights to flag effort at the Hunger Roaring, which is
Hunger Roaring.
It's the Roaring Hunger. So I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, good to know.
Keep up the good work, Alexander Rossi, and of course we'll have a full report about ART, Esteban Gutierrez, his teammate, and the points over at GP3 and how Rossi still may have a chance. And of course, that will be Motorsports Mondial in the midweek show. And of course, now we've got a couple of additions. I have an email I'm going to read, Stephen.
Yeah,
we got an email because, Andy, you know, a lot of emails are just telling me how much I'm just a jerk. You know,
or how beautiful you are. It's kind of one or the other.
They're not appropriate, you know.
Yes.
But every once in a while, we get good intellectual ones.
Ooh, a smart listener?
Well, they're all
smart. Aren't they all smart?
Yeah, Stephen. Man, where are you going with that? Anyway, let me do this email real quickly. This is from Marcello Xavier. And he doesn't tell us where he's from, but I have a feeling. Anyway, it says, Fernando is one of the fastest of the grid, but a true idol also needs to behave as a hero. Brazilian fans had Massa as an idol after the brilliant 2008 season and his win in Brazil followed by his adult attitude after the race. What a great moment and great speech. But Ferrari does not give a shit about the fact he was almost dead 1 year ago. Fernando, stop whining. Be macho. Thank you, Marcello. I think we have a lot of whining this year.
Seems
in the
to be a lot in the paddock yep, this year.
It's Formula One whining competition. So keep up the good work. Anyway, let's go right to 50 words or less on the Budapest Grand Prix. Steven?
First one from Tifosi for Life. Well done, mate. Weber earns win through strategy, pit crew, and blistering laps. He was ready when luck fell his way. Vettel errs, then pouts. Alonso does neither. Hamilton breaks. Schumacher blocks like it's for the lead. Safety car helps, but hard racing makes a good race. Scuderia not dead.
From K.A. Sin, Red Bull wings in working order again, which is more than can be said for Vettel's reading of the safety car situation. Schumacher permanently off Rubens' Christmas card list.
Ye writes, congratulations, Mark, on a champion's drive. Vettel can get as many poles and fastest laps as he likes. Neither score points. Marco needs to give his boy some calm-down pills. An enjoyable race, even at Hungary. Who said F1 needs fixing?
From Miguel in Portugal, a phantom caution saved the day. A boring turned interesting race. Webbo got lucky and delivered on his luck. Schumel proved again why he does not deserve a place in F1 memory.
Original JB writes, what could have been a summer break of Red Bull controversy or McLaren and Renault analysis has diverted by Schumi in the final laps. Another so-called boring track delivers the goods for fans can't wait for the summer slumber to awaken in Spa.
From Frank Douglasson, Vettel's lead is ruined by an unfortunate safety car period, and an error hands the win to his teammate. Schumi up to his old tricks, and Yamamoto lapped by his teammate. Where the heck was Button?
Juice writes, Clablamo, check. Bouncing wheels, check. Safety car, check. Schumacher without points, check. Rubin beating his nemesis, check. Whining Vettel, check. Carnage in the pit lane, triple check. Exciting race, poor Kubica, being attacked by the Germans using Indian weaponry. Best radio message of the race, Massa crying, where is Weber?
Okay, from Geronimo, that should silence even the hardest doubters of Weber's F1 drive.
And Mayonnaise writes, Vettel asleep at the wheel, Bumper cars in the pit lane. Schumacher shows no love for Rubens. Webber drives off into the sunset. Alonso can only watch the Red Bull disappear into the distance while Vettel fills his mirrors.
From François Sever. The safety car saved us from a boring race. Red Bull's on another planet. Vettel will be winning. Oh, whining again. Not winning, Clark. Whining again. And last but not least, Iceman says Phantom Caution sets up unlikely Webber win as Vettel is cruelly robbed. Fiona Lux into second without team orders this week. Petrov proves a point and Rubinho in passing Michael cue more controversy. Probably handed him his new retirement peppers. By the way, did McLaren turn up? Yeah, they did, but they had a bad day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, not a good day for McLaren, but if you're going to have them now instead of at the end of the season.
Yeah, have them now instead of, you know, a month from now.
So there you have it. Stay tuned for the midweek show. We've got some great goodie bags, great interviews, great Motorsports Mondial, and of course, me. Good night.
Good night.